Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Trek actor and star of the cult film favorite Masters of the Universe, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers.
Wow. The cult classic.
Yes. Yeah. Cult yes. Feature film favorite.
That's feature what I film said. Favorite. Yes. Yes.
That's what you get for that one.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Okay. All right.
That's thank my goal. I'm gonna change up the intro every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's a whole new thing happening. Okay. All right. I dig it. So, let's all do right. it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Let's talk about the weather right now. Is yes. the snow still piled up like crazy?
No, the snow is melting. Finally, it feels like our last gasp of winter storm just hit.
I love it.
And I mean, it's almost the end of April now. So
yeah, but you know, this with Utah and Colorado, how that works. It's just sometimes it comes through late too. You can get snow in May. I guarantee you that'll happen, you know, in the Rockies.
But I'm excited. I have I love mountain biking and I ordered a mountain bike a year ago from a company called Fazari. They make mountain bikes here in Utah, very small little company. So, buy local, support the local makers. And I picked up my mountain bike yesterday. I'm excited to get it out in the dirt. So it's about to happen. Yeah.
You know, I think you, myself, and Bob Picardo should do a charity mountain biking thing. And it should be called the Doctor's Injured Butt Charity Biking
Let's do it. All right.
Something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do a biking fundraiser.
That'd be really
Star
fun.
Star Trek bike-a-thon.
Bike-a-thon. Exactly. Right. Or butt-a-thon, whatever you want to put in there. It's fine. Mm-hmm. That mountain. So you have a trail right behind your house. Can you ride?
Literally outside the door. We have 520 acres of trails and it's incredible.
That's rideable via using your mountain bike, or is it just a hiking trail for walking?
It's hiking and mountain biking. So you have to keep an eye out.
Okay.
Especially on the descents. If you're on a mountain bike, you're coming down fast. You got to keep an eye out.
Fast.
Yeah, you can.
I know you like that, man. I know you like going down fast. So
yes.
Okay.
It's fun. It's
you
fun.
Feel the need for speed.
And the season is upon us. Like mountain biking season is creeping up now. Ski season's over.
Mm-hmm. The resorts are still open though, right? No. As in Deer Valley. Oh, Deer Valley, everyone's closed.
I think
isn't there? I thought there's spring skiing that happens all the way through the end of April.
I think Snowbird, Alta may stay open a little longer, but I don't think. I don't think my local resorts not
okay.
here.
Okay, no. Gotcha. Mm-mm. All right. So, are you ready for this week's episode?
Yes. What is it?
It is latent image.
Latent image. Okay.
Okay. All right, everyone. Robbie and
Let's
I are going to go.
Watch it.
Yeah, we're going to go watch this. We'll be right back with our recap and discussion and overall chat about latent thoughts, about
feelings,
our
impressions.
Are we
going
to use telepathy? Can we use telepathy as well?
We use telepathy, although we may get arrested and thrown into
we
a camp.
Might. We got to. If any divorce ships are nearby, we could be in trouble. So.
We could be in big trouble. So careful of that telepathy. But let's go watch this.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back from watching Latent Image.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
That was an intense episode.
It really was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tension and drama.
Yes, yes,
and absolutely. And a very loud doctor. very loud doctor. Let's start with our poetry synopsis. Here's my haiku. Here's my haiku for Latent Image. Are you ready?
Okay, ready for you.
Okay. Mystery afoot. Doc wants to relive the past. La Vita Nuova.
I can't believe that fit in the last syllable.
It did.
La Vita Nuova.
Nuova.
Wow.
Yeah, it fit, right? Wow. That's five.
It does. That's good.
Because I don't think anyone's going to go Nuova, no. And make that three. It's Nuova. So
Nuova.
It's Italian, yeah. You know?
Two. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, here we go for a little limerick action now.
Lay it on me, my friend. Lay it on me.
Let's see what we got. Here we go. Poetry time. Okay. Limerick poetry for latent image.
Mm.
Where Doc's memories went, no one can say. Something happened on that fateful day. He had to choose. Which life would they lose? But poetry saves the day.
Look at that. Poetry does save the day. And yeah. I love that poetry was part of this episode, which I clearly did not remember.
I did not remember that either, but a big part of it, a big part of.
Yeah.
And in fact, the last two episodes, because you think about like the DeVore, what's his name? Kashik or Kashik?
Kashik, yes.
Talking about like the contrast between the beautiful stuff that humans do and the war.
Yeah.
There was a lot of poetry kind of reference, sort of, you know,
sure.
the arts and humanities and things.
Yeah.
And now in this episode, more of that sort of like creative side or the human experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love poetry coming into it.
You know, when you're a kid and you're reading poetry in high school and junior high, you don't really think much about it, but I think, as an adult, you start to realize that there is some worth to poetry. There's some merits to poetry.
Love poetry.
Poetry is definitely something that can open up your mind. So
yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. It's kind of like Janeway says at the end of the episode. Like it helps her think. Same for me. I love poetry.
Yeah, agreed.
And I love to read some bigger ideas and more complex ideas or abstract ideas because it helps me think. It helps me. Yeah. Anyway,
awesome. For sure.
Okay. So Teleplay by Joe Manosky. Story was by Eileen Connors and Brandon Braga and Joe Manosky. So Eileen Connors was an assistant. She was like a writer's assistant or something, I think.
Really?
This came internally as sort of a pitch by an assistant. Yeah.
Okay.
This idea of a Sophie's Choice kind of storyline.
And
then I think Brannon and Joe they kind of fleshed it out even more, but that's who Eileen Connors was actually, writer's assistant.
I didn't remember that, but thank you for informing me. Okay.
Directed by Mike Vahar.
We were all wrong.
It was not Terry Wendell.
All of our choices.
Alan Craker was not David Livingston, but Mike Vahar, I forgot he was starting to do, he didn't do a ton.
No,
he did one or two every year.
Yeah,
the last few years he was a pretty regular recurring guy. Those last few years,
he was.
Mike. By the way, I gotta say, this may be one of the best directed episodes from a shot making standpoint.
Interesting
and a storytelling.
Yeah,
this was so well done, so smart and creative and elegant. You know, it had a nice soft touch, but very well done. I thought it was really interesting and really well done by Mike Vahar. So I'll point out some places where I thought that in the body of the episode, but Nancy Bell plays Ensign Jatal. Nancy Bell, her very first job that I could find was an episode of Law and Order in 1994. So that she was a guest star on Law and Order. But I did find that she is now currently a playwright and a theater actress and teacher. She's an associate professor at the St. Louis University.
What?
So, she's got published plays and produced plays all around the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. There is a photo. There's like a Polaroid of, you know, that one bench that was right outside of stage 8 and 9. There was like a bench right there.
Yeah.
And it's of me sitting there with Nancy.
Really?
Yeah. We're just sitting there and we're just like, you know, talking or something. And it's just a random photo.
It was the hangout spot for sure.
It was. And I just, you know, the minute I saw those images of Nancy on the doctor's holo imager, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about her. And I really, you know, I just remember being so intrigued by her because she was a little mysterious, kind of like how this episode is a little bit of a mystery. It's
right.
It's, and she was mysterious.
Well, you had a bunch of scenes with her, like all the stuff in the shuttle bay, and you guys had makeup, you know, for the injuries and all that. So you probably spent a lot more time.
I did
with her than anybody else.
I spent a lot of time, but she was an enigma to me though. It was because I always feel like I'm a very good judge of character or judge of people and their personalities. And I'm able to get along with everybody. But she was someone who she did great work. She was very professional, but I really wasn't able to crack that nut in a way. You know, I wasn't able to figure out what she was all about. And she was very intriguing to me. And I seem to recall I had a bit of a crush on her, like many other guest stars that showed up. But she definitely was somebody who I was like, wow, you know, I really want to know what you're about. But
well, she seems hard like to understand. From what I could pick up, she seems like a deeper kind of creative person than I would have expected. She's being a playwright and an associate professor and, you know, having worked in New York theater and Manhattan Theater Club and all kinds of spots. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Scarlett Palmers appears again in this episode as Naomi Wildman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've talked about her first job. We probably have, but I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, say it.
Step by Step, the sitcom, 1995 was her very first job.
Oh my gosh.
Scarlett, born in Riverside, California. We loved her. Born in Riverside.
That's my birthplace. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's so great. That's even more reason for me to reach out to her and say, look, we're both in Riverside. We got to get a hold of her. I just want to say, if there are any fans out there that have any contact with her whatsoever, because she's not responding to anything. So we would love to
get her on because I made a note immediately in the first scene. I was like, every time Scarlett was on the show, the show was better. She was fun to watch. She had a good, like, fun energy, a little bit of comedy.
And as far as a kid actor goes, she's good. She's really good. Yes.
She's really good. So I love that Scarlett was on the episode, in that opening scene. I wish she had been in more scenes. I always think she's great.
She's actually, you know, kind of messing around with the doctor a little bit. Yeah. You know, the doctor's joking with her and she jokes right back. And I'm going to guess, like, how old is she in this scene in real life?
She's probably like 8-9 years old, maybe.
If that, you know, I even feel like she might have been younger. And to be able to have the wherewithal to sort of joust a little bit with the doctor is very impressive. Yeah. Very impressive.
She was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our guest cast.
First scene, the doc is taking holo images of the crew because this is his yearly physical, I guess. He wants to have a file with all these holo images, which can really get down to the nitty gritty of people's interior, you know, everything, their whole.
He made an adjustment. Makeup. We find out later. He made an adjustment to his holo camera to do, I forget what he says later, but he tells the captain, they can do deep body scans.
A deeper scan. Yeah. And what, you know, what I wrote down, what kind of stood out to me is when he takes a picture of you, it says Paris, Tom, and then ENS, Ensign. He's still an ensign here.
Oh, so yeah.
Noticed. Mm-hmm. And again, the interaction between Naomi Wildman and the doctor, you know, Scarlett Palmers and Bob Picardo is excellent here. Really nice opening scene. And the other thing, did you notice anything about Harry's uniform when you see Harry pop up?
No.
It's got the low cut now. Do you remember how? Yeah. So in essence, when you see the V, if the V stops at the black, that was to signify, I guess Bob talked about this, Bob Blackman, to signify who was a little bit more uptight about their job. And then when the V goes below the black, which this is the first time you see this on Harry, this is the more relaxed or casual.
Interesting. So yours, you made an adjustment here.
They did, the writers did. They decided, hey, you know, Harry's a little bit more easygoing now. He knows what's going on. Season 5, let's lower the V on his uniform. Yeah. So that was my note. Yeah.
Well, I made a note that I thought it was a great idea to play this scene mostly from the camera's point of view, the holocamera's point of view, and then back at the doctor standing by the camera. It was just a great way of shooting the scene, making it kind of a little different than we normally see a scene covered on our show. And it kept it sort of fun and lighthearted. And I also loved when the camera goes down, or the our film camera goes down to the console, and we see Harry's reflection. He's the last one, right?
Yeah.
And so we see your reflection in the monitor
before you see Harry.
And again, really? We didn't normally play reflections like that on this show. So Mike Vahar coming out of the gate strong, like
good job,
really
Mike
cool
Vahar.
Shots.
Oh yeah.
The reflection shot, the camera point of view shot, just really well directed.
Yeah.
In a fun way that was amplifying the story. You know, sometimes directors can come in and they can do something that's really cool, visually kind of, whoa, that's a cool shot. But you're like, how is that helping our story?
Exactly. If anything, and that cool shot will distract from the
will
story.
Distract you.
Because you're sitting there going, you know what? You just pulled off that cool shot just because it was a cool shot. It had nothing to do with furthering the story. But this case, it does.
In this case, every shot to me, the camera point of view, the data on it, the kind of being in the doctor's obsession with this holocamera, you're in the obsession that he's experiencing. And then to see Harry's reflection in that monitor, knowing that there's something different about Harry's holo image, that there's going to be something, you know, deeper that's going to be already you're kind of foreshadowing that in the way that he shot it with that reflection. I thought it was, like I said, every step of the way, Mike Vahar hit it out of the park in this episode as a director. He really did.
Yeah. So we find out that Harry's had this operation, which the doctor has no recollection of. And then Harry's sort of like, what? I don't remember that either. So, you know, we don't know what is happening because it's clearly everyone has denied any knowledge of any operation. And then I also notice when I say, I don't understand, I don't remember having an operation, I have a cold in this scene. I sound so I'm so nasally. It's unbelievable. I'm like, wow. I'm in the midst of a cold. So
what's funny, if you think back, like nowadays with COVID the last couple of years, I feel like wearing a mask, washing my hands, I have not been sick.
No, you haven't.
I haven't gotten COVID. I haven't gotten a cold. Nothing.
You haven't had a thing.
Nothing. No. Zero. And usually I would get like five or six colds every year.
Yeah.
So back then when we were making the show,
we were getting sick all the time. Everybody was
getting sick.
It was ridiculous. All it takes is one crew member, going to craft service, kind of, you know, using some type of tong or something to pick something up, and then the next person grabs that same thing and doesn't even think about it and rubs their eye or nose, and you're done.
You remember when I got chickenpox on this show on Voyager?
Yes.
And I spread it because my daughter got it, gave it to me. Then I came to work and I was feeling really kind of fever. I was feeling, but I went to work anyway, and I gave it to three crew members.
They were not happy that they probably
I was like
got
patient
that
zero of adult chickenpox on Star Trek. So
gosh,
we would pass stuff around all the time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we go to Janeway's ready room. She's drinking coffee. She's been drinking a lot of coffee on the show lately.
She has. She's a coffee nut.
I do want to say, coming off of last week's episode, Counterpoint, where I thought the lighting was all over the place, honestly.
Yeah.
It, like scene to scene, it didn't have much continuity. It was not always flattering. Walking into the ready room this time, I'm like, there we go. That's the ready room. Like, it looks good. People's skin tones look good. Like a nice backlight. It's just, because sometimes we can be in, it can feel kind of like too bright, almost like a sitcom, or it can feel too dark and you know, but this was just perfect. It was warm. It felt great. So anyway, I was happy already. I was like, oh, thank God, back in the normal lady.
Yeah.
That was my favorite look. Anyway. So the doctor tells Janeway he's adjusted his holo imager for deep body scans and he starts to give Janeway a physical because she didn't come down for her holo scan and her physical.
Correct.
I have a question. So he's like feeling her, you know, thyroid glands, he's tapping on her back.
Yeah.
isn't that super old fashioned doctoring?
Like it sure is.
To be like, let me bump my hand and let me feel like, wouldn't he just have technology?
Well, he would just have a medical tricorder. And he would scan
her. Why would you be touching her and bonking on her? And,
okay. I mean, clearly, as an actor for Bob Picardo and for any actor, when you have business, that helps you as an actor, some type of business, some type of physicality to sort of, you know, keep this thing going. And I think that he just said, okay, I'm just going to do the old fashioned thing. And nobody said anything about it. They were like, okay, well, we'll let it go. So there was no,
I mean, at first it makes sense. He's like, oh, well, let me do the physical. But it occurred to me halfway through. I was like, wait, this is very old fashioned doctoring.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's value to it still, but it just seems like
that thing, though. You know, that little thing that you tap on to check reactions. You hit
reflexes. Knee, or,
the reflex thing. Yeah. He's used that before in other episodes on me, actually, on Harry. So it's been used before. But you're right. It would. This is so old. Like in our time period on this show, would it still be utilized? That is a good question. And I think that
he did some things. Like he had something he was scanning in front of her eyes. I remember at one point she opened her mouth and I was like, why is she opening her mouth?
Yeah.
He's scanning her eyes, but maybe it's just. Need,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he was trying to look inside of her mouth or something.
I guess, again, I don't know.
None of this is needed. If you have a medical tricorder, that scans everything. It's covered.
Yeah, you don't need any of it. You just use tech.
It just doesn't look as good if he's just doing this on her in that long scene, because it's a fairly long scene.
It's a long scene. So, he talks about how he's discovered the scar on Harry, and it doesn't make sense. He doesn't remember it.
So and he thinks he needs to run a self-diagnostic. So this is what he tells Janeway. I need to make sure that I do a self-scan, that I'm not reading things incorrectly. And she's like, okay, good job. Go
and
at
he asked her a few things and she's like, I don't remember.
Yep.
I don't remember.
And doesn't recall.
I noticed in this scene, and by the way, I didn't know the plot of this episode as we started watching it.
Right.
But I already noticed with Kate Mulgrew pretending like she doesn't remember. Whenever Janeway is pretending, I feel like
does she have a tell? Like,
she has a tell.
What's her tell?
It's almost like I don't know. It's like beady eyes or a little extra quiet. She's not a good liar, Janeway or Kate Mulgrew. I mean, Kate Mulgrew is a great actress, but when she's playing a scene where she's supposed to be lying, I feel like I always catch it. I'm like, oh, Janeway's lying.
So what you're saying,
and I felt it immediately. I'm like, she's lying. I didn't know the plot, but I'm like, she's lying.
Okay, so what you're saying is, if we have a Star Trek Voyager celebrity poker tournament and we are at the final table, you will always defeat Kate Mulgrew.
Absolutely. She does not have a poker face. She cannot misdirect. Okay.
I didn't see this tell, but I mean, I'll try to look for it a little bit more now.
It's that kind of like soft and beady eyes, and like it's like she smelled like someone farted in the room. It's like, I don't know. It's something like that. It's weird. But I could see it. I saw it immediately. I made a note, and I didn't even know the plot. I'm like, she's lying. She's not. Whatever's going on, she's lying. Why is she lying to the doctor? I don't know, but she is. Anyway,
I'm just imagining us in real life. We're at a convention and you're looking at Kate and you're like, you just smelled a fart. You lied, Kate.
That's right. Either you smelled a fart or
you
lied.
Yeah.
All right. We go to Astrometrics.
Yeah.
Again, a big shout out to Mike Vahar. This scene is shot in a oneer. I don't know if you noticed.
Yes.
Is beautifully shot.
It was very well done. Yeah.
So elegant. It amplifies the story. Mm-hmm. We see Seven working. It pans over to reveal the doctor coming in, hands off to the doctor. The doctor comes in. He brings us back to a two shot with Seven. They talk for a beat. Then she wanders back over.
Yep.
He goes and joins her. It wraps around. He comes into a close up. I mean, it's like a freaking
flawless
Dancing with the Stars blocking. It was Dancing with the Stars, expert level blocking and shot making. It was really well done.
Yeah. And the purpose for this visit, the doctor comes to ask Seven for a favor. She says, listen, I need you to help me run a self-diagnostic. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, I'm pretty busy. And then he insists and she's okay, I can assist you in an hour. And 1 hour from now, I will help you with this self-diagnostic.
Yeah.
Now we have a passage of time. We are in sick bay. And of course, Seven arrives to assist, but the doctor First of all, the doctor's not even there.
He's not there. She looks around. She has to activate him.
He has to activate the doctor. Mm-hmm. And then he has zero memory of the conversation that they just had in Astrometrics 1 hour earlier. She then brings up, well, the reason why I'm here is you talked about this hollow image of Ensign Kim having the surgery. And then they look for this image, but it's gone. Mm-hmm. And the doc says, wait a minute. I don't have many memories of what we just talked about. I have no image of Ensign Kim. Let's meet up. Let's meet up in the holodeck to sort of like look at the holo images I took from 18 months ago.
18 months ago.
We'll go look at every day. I took several. Let's go look at that. So
by the way, when Seven walks into the sick bay, he's not there. When she says computer activate emergency medical hologram, she activates him and he appears in his office with his back to her.
Yeah, facing away.
And
yeah.
He's like looking around. I love when they do this.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if it was Bob or Mike Vahar, but mm-hmm. like when the, you know, when it's, when things don't just line up so easily, but they add a little fun and a little. It was just great. I love that he sort of appeared in the other room and was lost for a minute. Mm-hmm. We go to the holodeck from this scene.
Yeah.
And, all these images, all those photos he took have been deleted from his memory buffers. Mm-hmm. And so she says, well, maybe I can reconstruct some of these images from residual photons in the holo buffers or something.
Right.
And we start to see some grainy kind of images that are from some birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an ensign there that the doctor doesn't recognize. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, he doesn't recognize her. And in these photos, there's the birthday party. There's like a shuttle mission with this ensign and Harry Kim. There's a photo, grainy photo of an alien sort of that we don't recognize. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I made a note, Seven is lying too. So already, I don't know where this is going, but I'm like, okay, they're all in on it.
Did I have a tell?
No.
You sold it. I know, because when I was watching myself, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. This is a true mystery. Harry doesn't know either. Because I was like, oh, I bought into my own performance. I was like, wait a minute. So
no, you played it absolutely how I think it should be played.
Right.
I think Kate and Jerry both were sort of leaning into the melodrama of I've got a secret. They weren't covering very well. So again, I'm like, she's lying too. What's happening here? If I was the doctor, I would have been like, why are you guys lying? You're bad liars. But
I think your new name is the Truth Seeker. Robbie McNeil, the Truth Seeker.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So now, do we go to Science Lab? Is this where they further investigate these memory files? I think Seven is isolating his memory files.
They may be in the Science Lab, or they could still be in the holodeck. It's hard to know.
There was a bunch of stuff on the wall that wasn't there before. So that's why I thought, okay, I think we're in the Science Lab.
But Seven discovers these hidden files that are there, but that the doctor's program has been blocked from remembering these.
Yeah, files. It's been rewritten to deny him access to those memories. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor sees an image from, he sees the image from the mess hall, from the shuttle, from sick bay.
Yeah, so now it's not grainy photos anymore. And there's a lot more of it.
There's a lot more. And that photo of inside the shuttle where they're saying, you see Harry saying, I remember this is, when Harry says, this is the last one.
This is the last one. Yeah.
I don't remember much about this episode, but that particular scene, I remember very clearly me grinning and smiling and saying, this is the last one through my grinned teeth. And I was like, oh my God, I remember that shot. Yeah. And it's so weird how memory works. Like the majority of this episode, nothing. And then that one particular scene, crystal clear, the day of filming actually doing that too. So,
and it's funny that you say that about real life, your memory of this episode, because this scene is very much about these jumbled memories. It's funny because these images the doctor is starting to download or have available for him to see, Seven says these are all out of order. So we're not really, this isn't helping us put the story together. It's just giving us images of this alien, images of the birthday party moments.
Yeah.
Bloody, you know, the bloody girl is on the floor. There's an attack. You see the alien shooting something. You see Tom and the doctor doing surgery, but it's all out of order.
Yeah. But it's adding to the mystery, which is great. Yep. We have no clue what's going on. We're not sure.
And the doctor calls Janeway from there. We cut hard to the briefing room next. Mm-hmm. And now he's acting like a detective because the doctor thinks that they've all forgotten what's happened, not just him.
Yes.
And yes, he's sharing some of this information about the alien. And Janeway, again, I can tell she's lying. Such a hell. She's like, I don't remember this alien species. I have no idea. Seven's going, no, they're unknown to the Borg. No, we don't know. And we don't know this ensign. Who? Ensign Jatal?
Who's that? Yeah.
Yeah, bad
liars. So then the doctor postulates that there's possibly an intruder on board. This is the person who's like erasing his files. So Janeway, trying to cover her knowledge, says, Tuvok, you better perform a deck-by-deck security sweep. Seven, you better go to Astrometrics and recalibrate the sensors to see if you can detect any cloaked vessels nearby. So it's all trying
to play into like the doctor's, you know, what he's guessing at. Yeah. They're playing along with it.
And then the doctor says that he will review the medical records of the rest of the crew. And maybe Harry is not the only person to have been injured during this attack. And Janeway quickly says, no. You need to deactivate yourself. And we need to protect you. We're going to put a security field around their main computer, and all the pathways leading to your program will be encrypted. We're going to do all these amazing security protocols to protect you, Doctor.
Yeah,
and that's when I started
safety.
Yeah, and that's when I started thinking, this is when I, because I didn't see the tells that you saw, but then I started thinking something is amiss here.
Well, because you see Janeway and Tuvok look at each other, and it's not like, it's not like, oh, looks like, oh, the doctor's onto some smart idea. It's more look like, this is more complicated than we thought. There's something going on for
right.
But we go to sick bay and the doctor walks in by himself, and he's clearly upset or sad or confused about all this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts to deactivate himself. You can tell he's going to do what she said, but then he stops and he goes, computer, copy the memory files from the last 48 hours, have them copy. And he tells the computer to reactivate him and restore these duplicate files if anyone tampers with it.
Correct. And then he adds the extra booby trap thing, which is the holo imager is set up in the end of at the back of sickbay to record in 5-second intervals anyone who comes in to sickbay, just to see if someone's doing this. And so sure enough, and again, which is great, it's the way it's filmed. You hear someone walking in. You don't see who it is.
This down beautifully.
Oh, it's so well done. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, because we go off of the doctor disappears. We see the holo camera in the back.
Yeah.
And then the camera sort of tilts down to the computer screen.
Right.
And then you hear the door open. You see shadows.
You hear footsteps as well.
Your footsteps. Mm-hmm. You see the deleting of files going on.
You hear buttons being pushed, files being deleted. You see the files delete. Yeah, you don't know at all. And then, you know, the doctor's program reactivates the files, the duplicate backup files pop back in. They restore themselves. And then he gets the minute they restore, then you can see the realization on his face that, oh my gosh, now I remember everything. And he remembers the holo imager. And that is the reveal when he sees the image.
He goes over and he plays back the images, and it scans the organs, skeleton of somebody. Yeah. It's a cool reveal.
It really
and then
is.
Janeway.
It's Janeway.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, I knew she was lying. I knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we go on the bridge now. We
love this bridge. Love this beginning bridge scene.
Love it.
Oh, my God.
Love it, too. Janeway, Chakotay, Tuvok. They're arguing about a sumo wrestling match.
Championship sumo wrestling match.
Who knew that they were also into sumo wrestling?
No, but also, I was a little weird. I was a little... when Tuvok talks about how he's into martial arts, and I was like, wait a minute. Sumo wrestling is wrestling. It's not martial arts, but I guess you can call that a martial art.
I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a sport more than a martial art, I would think.
Isn't
sumo wrestling it's like a game and a sport.
It's a sport.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're into it. Clearly, Tuvok is a huge sumo fan, I wrote down. They're but arguing so is about this.
So is Janeway and Chakotay.
Janeway said she has fifth row seats at the gym. So she like goes to the sumo matches.
Yeah.
Even Chakotay is remembering like, no, that's not how it happened.
But Chakotay jokes. I love how he goes like, well, clearly you were drinking sake. That's the only reason why you don't remember the winner who won this match. So very funny.
While they're arguing, though, the door opens to the to the turbo lift, and I remember as the door opened, I'm like, "Where is who's coming in? Like, what's?" Mm-hmm. I figured it the doctor, but I'm like, "There's a long pause, and then he walks out very slowly, very dramatic."
Yeah,
like if I was the captain, I would have been like, "Wait, time out on the sumo conversation for a minute, doctor. What are you doing? Why are you walking so slowly?
Yes,
yeah." But he walks in very dramatically, interrupts their conversation, and accuses the crew of conspiring against him.
It's a conspiracy. And then,
it's a conspiracy. He's very upset. And then Tuvok says, "Doctor, let me escort you back to sick bay." And I love this line. He turns to Tuvok, Tuvok.
Yes, exactly.
A classic Julius Caesar line.
Do you think he put that in?
I don't think so.
Okay. So then do you think Joe Manosky wrote that in because Bob Picardo is Italian and Italians are now,
I just think it's descendants
of Romans. And so hence they added that in.
I just think it's a dramatic doctor, like being dramatic, like quoting Shakespeare.
Okay.
You can't just say, not you, Tuvok, not you,
he
too.
He has to put Tuvok in there. Okay.
Yes. It's all right. Captain Janeway walks down, faces him, you know, nose to nose there, and says, "In my ready room."
Yeah, she's harsh
because he's starting to lose his temper. Which we go in the ready room, and he is pissed. The doctor is pissed off, and I made a note here. Why isn't he thrown in the brig? Because he gets loud.
LOUD, capital letters. I said, "Careful." Court martial territory. Like this is when you are going to be thrown in the brig. How are you? How can you react that loudly to the captain? Your captain. You're screaming at her practically. I don't know.
In the moment, I didn't understand it, but looking back on it, she's really been trying to protect him with this whole memory thing. So she knows. You know, she's very empathetic, I guess, to his confusion.
She is.
And they've probably been through some of this before because they, you know. In this version, in this timeline we're seeing with him, he doesn't remember it, but she says later on, "We've been through this." Like every time he starts remembering it, he gets, you know, starts to freak out. So,
yeah, but you can freak out without raising your volume. You can freak out and become very manic, sort of in a Woody Allen way. You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, "Well, did I do this? Did I do that?" Where everything is confusing. I think that to me would have been a better way for the doctor to deal with this instead of getting the volume like screaming at the top of his lungs.
He was very upset.
Bothered me. I understand he's upset, but you can be upset and confused without screaming at somebody. Right. So I don't know. I
bought it and and in fact, later on when they say he's reacted like that before, even worse, I was like, wow.
Right.
So that was big. I think it was to try to convey the depth of this, the profound impact that this Sophie's choice had on that character, that he's just starts going, literally going crazy.
Yeah.
His program goes crazy.
Yeah.
But when he starts to deal with it.
True. I feel like in this scene, this could have been more of a just confusion, confusion instead of getting loud.
Because
I want to see that loudness in that later mess hall scene with Neelix. Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like he gave up his, you know, as an actor, you gave away a little bit
too much.
Yes. Why climax here this early when you should be climaxing in that nutty scene in the mess hall, which
I thought this one was anger at being lied to. And that one was insanity because I can't
from the decision
process
this. okay
I would buy both of them, but it was loud. I will give you that.
Okay.
It was definitely,
I'm saying, just turn it down a few notches. That's all. If I was Mike Vahar, I would have said, "Bob, please turn it down just a little bit. I don't want to give away the cookies too early.
By the way, my guess is, you know, as an actor on these episodes, we would do different levels. They may have shot a level that
where he was softer,
where he was softer. And they may have just in the editing process said, hey, let's go for the bigger one.
Okay.
Because you know, we did that all the time. Yeah. We try different takes.
Give me another. Yeah. No, we got this in the can. Give me something different, you know, for the editor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There might have been different versions of this scene, but he definitely got hot.
Yeah. But I'm going to say this, if Paris was that loud with Janeway, he would have been
back in the brig for sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The doctor's demanding to know what happened. Janeway says that she can't tell him because it can cause this conflict to happen again. His programming could not resolve.
Right. She said that you were damaged during the incident and this caused conflict in your programming. And unfortunately, we couldn't get past this. And I cannot tell you. I mean, he wants to know, but she cannot tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We go to sick bay.
Chakotay, Paris, and Seven, and Belana.
Chakotay, Seven, and Paris.
Oh, not Belana. Excuse me.
Chakotay, by the way, Paris comes in with a different hairstyle than I've ever seen. Why is he having a bowl cut? Why did I have a bowl cut haircut for this episode?
You know,
there's a couple of scenes where it's a bowl. It's a bowl cut.
I do know that you did definitely have a weird bowl cut going
bangs.
On. Yes, but notes.
I don't wear bangs in real life. I've never worn bangs. When did they decide Paris wears bangs?
But bowl cut aside, what you should be focusing on is I think you look the trimmest and slimmest and ready for action of all the most recent episodes.
Ooh.
Face looks really good in this episode. Your physique looks like it's in shape in this episode. So my notation was like, wow, Paris actually looks really good in this act.
I think I was starting to bike a lot. I was bicycling a lot.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
And doing spinning classes and biking a lot. But anyway.
But that made me ignore the bowl cut. I didn't even think about the bowl cut because
all I could look at is the bowl cut. But the other thing I liked is that when Paris comes in, the doctor pulls Paris aside and says, do you agree with her? Do you agree that that I should have my program rewritten? Do you agree with the captain? And Paris goes, I agree with her. And I like that moment between the doctor and Paris because the doctor's always, you know, making sarcastic jokes about Paris.
Basically very dismissive of Paris.
Very dismissive. And that was one moment where I was like, oh, he must value Paris. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's turning to him in this final moment to go, you know, let me ask somebody that I'll trust.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was a brief moment, but I liked it.
Yeah, I agree. And they're there basically because Belana requires a copy of the doctor's most recent memory files, including the backups. And Torres is going to rewrite his program. And Paris is there because he wants to be briefed about any experiments or tests that the doctor is performing because he is going to take over for the doctor while the doctor's program is offline. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We go to Janeway's quarters next. And my first note is, she has the same orange color that Paris has.
Yep. My first note, accent color is orange. And I
thought, and that's because of lizard love. That's because of lizard love.
Okay.
Janeway and Paris have lizard love and they like orange.
They like orange. Yeah. All right.
She's also reading and lounging very dramatically with her arms back over the chaise. It's very
like she's about to be painted.
Yes. And Seven enters. I love the first line. Oh, Seven, having trouble regenerating instead of having trouble sleeping, like you could ask any normal human.
Yes.
Oh, having trouble regenerating.
But instead, she's having trouble with the nature of individuality. This is the reason why Seven is there. She feels that rewriting his program is a violation of the doctor's rights as an individual. Janeway says that she has dealt with this exact same issue 18 months ago, and she has come to the exact same conclusion. And then Seven quickly says, your conclusion is wrong. And it's like, oh boy, here we go again.
Here we go.
You know, it's going to be the, you know, head to head again.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, and I wrote down the whole actual quote. I just love how Janeway, the minute she goes, you're wrong. She looks at her and she goes to the replicator. She replicates coffee.
Coffee.
And she says, lukewarm. Now, I've told that replicator a dozen times about the temperature of my coffee. It just doesn't seem to want to listen, almost as if it's got a mind of its own. But it doesn't. A replicator operates through a series of electronic pathways that allow it to receive instructions and take appropriate action. And there you go, a cup of coffee, a bowl of soup, a plasma conduit, whatever we tell it to do. And as difficult as it is to accept, the doctor is more like that replicator than he is like us. Mm. And I say this whole thing because I am of the school of thought. I follow what Janeway says. This is what I believe. I believe that the doctor is more of a program than a human. And I feel like, you know, this is my always been my opinion. That
I know, but I'm on team seven.
And you're on team seven.
I'm on team seven. He's evolving.
I'm on team Janeway.
He's evolving. He's learning just like her. Just like she says, she talks about herself. Like she's becoming more and more human, less and less Borg. Seven says, Janeway took her on board, she allowed me to evolve my humanity. She says, why won't you allow the doctor to evolve his?
Right.
And I love the moment where she's looking at the replicator when she thinks of this. She's like, oh, does Janeway see me like that replicator? And there's a nice shot of Seven.
Like, I do remember that. Yes.
Wait, is she saying I'm just a machine too?
Yeah.
And that has some impact. You know, she says, maybe you'll abandon me as well. Seven says, I chose to let you be my guide, but maybe I made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
Harsh words.
The harsh words.
Which must land for Janeway, because now we go to sick bay and Janeway's there. And she says to the doctor that she will tell him what happened. And she's thought about this, and maybe she's recognized her own bias and her fear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That helped, you know, made that decision before. So I think it's a great sort of Seven did talk some, you know, some rethinking into Janeway to not just give up and delete him and you know,
and you are now team Janeway post Seven talk. I'm still team Janeway pre Seven talk. So
yes,
you see the merit in what Seven has to say. And so, I Janeway does too. Janeway's like, okay, let's just let him see the memories. So now we jump to the science lab. They're prepping for the memories. And now we quickly have a flashback to the first memory in the mess hall. And now that's your voice, correct? Your voice says, you're standing on my foot. Is that your?
Okay. Yeah, that's me.
And that's me responding, I am not. Right? I think that's me.
I think
and
it
then
is.
Then you hear me say, I was like that right at the very end. I go, I am not. I was like that. You hear that. And I was like, was that me? But I'm pretty sure that was me.
Yeah, I think so.
Jatal and Neelix arrive. And this is one of my favorite parts of this whole episode. Just, oh my gosh, there's a power outage in here, Jatal says. And she goes, she hits her combat, Jatal to Torres. And then you hear, go ahead, Ensign, because she's right in the room.
She's right in the dark room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I mean, should I say surprise? And we have this huge surprise. I am so happy once again that I don't have to wear the itchy, hot, tight Starfleet uniform in this scene. I actually have regular wardrobe, which is always.
Regular wardrobe, kind of like Paris. You have a vest. And I made a note, were vests in style at this point in Starfleet history?
We're very vesty. Yes.
We're very vesty. It feels a little 90s. I feel like vests were in the 90s, like it's kind of a fashion-y.
Yeah.
And
there's
actually
a photo. There's
a
photo of you at a Star Trek convention wearing a vest and a shirt on stage.
I think they were kind of a style in the 90s. So here we were on the show.
You and I were vesties together.
Oh, that's cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the doctor's taking some pictures.
Yep. Kote actually walks up to the doctor and assigns him to the next away mission, which the doctor is so happy, so excited. And then the doctor bumps into Ensign Jatal and talks to her like, you know, I haven't seen you for a while. She says, well, that's because I've been a clean bill of health. I haven't had to see you, but I've been working on, I guess, they're working on a shuttle or something, or I can't remember what she's saying.
Yeah, she says trying to make the shuttle go faster. Yeah,
shuttle faster.
She says
and make
making
it more
the shuttle's a little more cool.
Cool.
That's a Paris word for sure.
And he says, I've seen you've been working with Mr. Paris. And then here comes the old school cut right here. The little dismissive. My condolences. I'm like, oh, you're totally digging into Paris yet again right here.
He likes Paris. I know he likes me.
Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't be saying that.
That's right. Okay. Then we go inside the shuttle, and there's Harry and Jatrol. And
I forgot about those sliding chairs. They were on those little tracks right there. Just how you had that track down at Con. Those tracks inside the shuttle were super cool because you can kind of zip back and
forth.
Super
cool. Yes. That's what Paris does. He makes a cool shuttle.
He does. He does.
So the doctor's taking pictures in the shuttle, and that's when the shake happens.
Yes. Yes.
And we see an alien vessel kind of in the screen flying in. The shuttle takes a little fire and suddenly there's an alien on board.
Yeah.
He had the coolest gun, by the way. Three barrels on that gun.
Three barrel gun. Super Why hasn't cool. that been invented? My goodness.
Three barrels on his laser gun, laser rifle. And he shoots all three barrels at those guys. They go down. And Harry and Jatrol are burned pretty bad from whatever this.
The doctor does he go down too? Because he fritzes
and then he comes back online.
Yeah.
And he beams the bad guy back to his ship.
His ship, which is like, what? And there's that Harry's like half conscious. He's like, why didn't you beam him into space?
Yeah.
Did you see what I did right before I passed out? Did you see that little movie?
Your eyes sort of went back in your head.
I showed you the white of my eyes. I said, I'm going to roll these puppies back and show you that I'm passing out. So
you did. You passed out good.
Yeah. Really good makeup. It looks really effective and real.
Yeah. The makeup was awesome. And the flyby when Voyager comes in to
yes.
shoot the alien ship and kind of save the shuttle there. Yep. Voyager comes flying through that.
Oh,
view
yeah.
screen, the front yeah. window, and it was very cool.
Yep.
You guys are beamed over to sick bay, and in sick bay, some teams come in. Paris is part of this team that's helping put you guys on the bed.
Yeah.
Doc does a little analysis and says there's synaptic failure.
Yeah, synaptic failure. And he's
the weapon that this alien used, he realizes, has this residual energy charge that continues to do damage to the body. So the weapon is still working and it's killing them slowly, going up their spinal column, heading towards their
brains.
Brain. Yep.
So the doctor realizes they're going to be dead in minutes. And so he needs to protect the brain function. So he quickly says a spinal shunt to isolate the spinal cord from the brainstem. So he has time to repair the cellular damage. But then he realizes he doesn't have time to save both. And then this is when Paris yells, "Then make a choice." And I was like, what? You don't even say my name? you're gonna let the doctor choose between me and Jatrol? I'm like, okay.
But I think like the doctor says later on about making decisions, like you calculate, you know, lots of variables, you calculate and make what is the best choice. Mm-hmm. This was one where they were absolutely equal choices.
They were, but then he went with who he knew better, which was Harry, because he said, I chose my friend over.
Yes, he does. He says that later.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Paris works with the doctor, so you're welcome for that.
Yeah, thank you.
I helped save your life.
You did help.
And just as Harry is saved from this with a spinal shunt,
you hear the flat line.
She's done. She's done.
Yeah.
Man.
Poor Nancy.
So that was in our flashback. We dissolved back to sick bay at the present.
Well, actually, I wrote science lab, but maybe it's sick bay.
Oh, yeah. Could be the science lab.
Yeah.
But we learned that the aliens did withdraw after a brief battle, and there were no more casualties.
And the doc's quote is, I don't mean to seem unfeeling, but I'm programmed to accept the loss of a patient with professional detachment.
Exactly. He's
like, why are you even doing it? Why did you hide these memories from me? I'm fine. And then Janeway then motions to Torres. She gives her that look like, show them more. And so bridge flashback, the funeral service for Ani Jatrol, which is still okay. But then we have the mess hall flashback with the Neelix and doctor. And this, after he asks Neelix, how do you make a decision, Mr. Neelix, is the beginning of the downfall. This is where the spiral begins. And slowly but surely, and it's great. I mean, I think Bob did a great job. He starts off very calm, very okay. He's the normal doctor we always know. But bit by bit, you see it's overwhelming. He cannot handle it. And I love how he compares the two fruit. He's got the fruit And the one that he doesn't pick, he just throws it across the room and it hits the you know, near some of the crew members that are eating over there.
Yeah.
Then later he has the pastry. And he says, but what if it's identical? What if two identical choices? And then he crushes the one that he doesn't, that he doesn't pick. And you now see something
I think I remember Bob for this scene in the mess hall. Mm-hmm. And I hope we can talk to Bob and maybe get some clarity on this. But yeah. I think this was a really big scene, a climactic scene, like you talked about before. And all of this, the props, the crushing the fruit, you know, crushing the nuts or doing all these different things. That was not scripted, as I recall. I think he added all of this stuff. And in fact, I feel like I remember, I'd love to find out from him if we get a chance to talk to him and put it in the bonus features of this. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I feel like he sort of came up with all this business. Mm. Ran it by Mike Vahar, ran it by the director much earlier, so that they sort of added it into the plan. It was not scripted,
right?
To crush the things or to have all the fruit or take the bowls over. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that a lot of that was Bob. As you know, he loved props, and so ahead of time was trying to think of that. But hopefully, we can get that in.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Our Patreon bonus features.
That'd be really great.
Yeah.
So now we jump back from the flashbacks. We're back in the science lab, and Janeway says that it only got worse from there, and that the doctor developed a feedback loop between his ethical and cognitive subroutines, and that he was having the same thoughts over and over again. He could not stop them. And the only option was to erase his memories of those events. And that's when she says to B'Elanna, we gave him a soul, B'Elanna. Do we have the right to take it away now? And then B'Elanna's like, we gave him personality subroutines. I'd hardly call that a soul. So again, I'm team B'Elanna on this one. And you are team
You're
Janeway
full
now.
Tech. And I'm the poetic human who wants, I want the machine to turn into a human. I want Seven to be a real human.
You want Pinocchio to be a real boy. I know you do.
I want him to be a real boy. I want Data to be a real human.
Yes, you do. You do.
Anyway, yeah. So we jump to the Borg regeneration alcove.
Cargo Bay Janeway, One.
Mm-hmm. Cargo Bay One, Janeway walks in and takes a moment sort of thinking about what Seven has said to her earlier and then wakes her up.
Yeah, but did you feel weird of her watching her regenerate like that? Was that a little...
It didn't feel weird to me. Okay. I felt like she was trying to put her thoughts together.
Before
like,
she before waking her up.
Yeah, do okay, I continue? Gotcha.
Okay.
Do I involve her?
Yep.
You know, I think for Janeway often... A conversation with Seven, you never know, you know, it can easily go off the rails. So she's like, am I really want to do this? But she does. She wakes up.
She does. Individuality discussion commence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
A philosophical debate. She does say, there's a time and place. When you came in my room, it was 2 a.m. When I'm coming in here.
Like, when I wake you up at 2 a.m., and now it's the time and place.
Yeah. Exactly. But she basically says, you know.
Taking you from the Borg collective. Was it worth it?
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
And Seven says, yes, I'm glad you did it.
Yeah. And then Seven says, if I could change what happened, erase what you did to me, would I? And she says, no, I would definitely redo the same thing exactly the way it was done before. So basically she's saying that it was worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. And Janeway's like, okay, I got my info. I got what I need from you. Captain's log supplemental. We get a little bit more information. Yep. Our doctor is now our patient. 2 weeks that she has, Janeway has ordered an around-the-clock vigil. Crew member has stayed with him at all times to be a sounding board and a familiar presence while he struggles to understand his memories and his thoughts. And then Janeway in the captain's log supplemental says, the chances for recovery, uncertain. So we're still kind of like, you know, we're not through the thick of it yet. Mm-hmm. And now we have a scene of the doctor and Janeway sitting on an empty holodeck in chairs.
Funny, they're both sitting in like,
they're both just sitting
like
in these
Barca loungers.
That's what I wrote. I was like, they're sitting on, what are those called? What are the ones called? The ones that you-
Recliners or something?
Yeah, there's a name like for that though. There's a company
Barca
that-
Barca lounger.
Easy Boy?
Easy Boy.
Lazy Boy. Yeah, they're sitting on Lazy Boys. And for those of you who are not Americans, this is a brand of recliner chair in the US called Lazy Boy. And so they're both sitting on those.
Yeah, it looks like Lazy Boys.
Yeah.
Janeway's reading.
Yeah.
And he's going off again. He's getting wound up about.
He starts off though. Faith. He starts soft,
but he gets himself wound up about the nature of life of how things work out. And yeah, do we have a choice? He says it was this all predetermined millions of years ago. He goes through the
Big Bang discussion. Exactly.
Goes all the way back to the Big Bang. And Tuvok enters at one point and offers to trade with Janeway. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, I'm going to keep reading. La Vita Nuova is what she's reading.
Mm-hmm. Which she tells the doctor, I'm reading poetry, is relevant to your situation. He's like, really?
And then the doctor continues with, like, could I have changed anything? He says, every scenario I run through, you know, I would have killed her. There's just too many possibilities. In every scenario I could think of, I would have made the same thing would have happened. Mm-hmm. And then as he's talking, he looks over and she's fallen asleep.
She's dozed off. Yeah.
And he comes over, wakes her up, and he touches her head, and she's got a fever.
Yeah.
And he says, now he's
concerned, right?
So. Yeah. Now he's concerned. He's like, you've got a fever. You're sick. You need to go to sick bay.
Yeah.
And she says,
Mr. Paris. Didn't she say, Paris? Something like that. Yeah.
But she says, no, I can't go down there. I can't leave you here. I'm busy helping a friend. Mm. That was very sweet to me. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, I'll be okay. You go take care of yourself. Go to sleep.
Go get some sleep. Yeah.
Go get some sleep. And so she does. And you see her sort of open the book to a particular page and set it down.
Okay. I'm going to read the quote. And I want you to interpret this quote that he reads from the book. He reads, in that book, which is my memory, on the first page of the chapter that is the day when I first met you, appear the words, here begins a new life. So how did you interpret that?
It's very ambiguous. I think that what it meant to me was that we're constantly recreating a new version of ourselves by the people we interact and the events that happen to us, that we can't undo them, but we can start. We can't start anew from the very beginning because that's already happened, but we can start anew from today because every day is a new day. Every chapter is a new chapter, every experience. So I can't go back and fix the things that had sad endings in my life. I can't undo them. I can't rewrite them, but I can start a new chapter, that this is a new life that I'm starting today, and I can have a different experience, different attitude.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, that is the end of our plot. And it ends very ambiguously, by the way. The episode ends with the doctor reading. He reads that quote, and we pull back wide. I just want to say one last time, Mike Behar knocked it out of the park. Beautifully shot. Yeah. All around. Yeah. Really great work. He was one of my favorite directors. I love working with him. So he was awesome.
Yeah.
My theme, here we go. My lesson I wrote down was, being able to accept and process the pain we have in life is a natural part of the human experience and can make life richer moving forward. So in a way that quote talks about, like, you know, every day is a new chapter, the beginning of new life. I think that if you can accept and process the wounds that have happened in your life, that you'll only be richer for it. That if the doctor was, if we reprogrammed him back to zero, we know what that is. It's a pretty blank slate. But now we've got this doctor who's had these emotional subroutines and all that stuff. He has evolved like seven. He has grown. So if he can somehow process this and figure out how to get his program to accept the reality of what happened, he can move forward a richer person or a richer hologram.
Yeah.
That's my lesson.
Okay.
What about you?
I think for me, this episode was more a lesson of empathy, compassion, and patience. Empathy, compassion, and patience. And I'm really speaking about the people that are around the person dealing with the drama or dealing with the issue, you know? So a lot of times I think people really that are going through tough times are very appreciative of friends that say, I'm just going to be here for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything, you know, I'm just going to
say, like Janeway in that last scene.
Exactly. I'm here.
I'm going to sit here. I can't fix it for you.
But if you have anything that you need to say to me or talk to me about, I'm going to be here to interact with you. But if you need to be quiet, I can be quiet right next to you. You know, so sometimes a lot of people try to fix things, like especially men. Men are so good at like, oh, something's wrong. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to force this round peg into this square hole, and it doesn't work. And a lot of times, if you just sit there, if you just listen, that is all that other person needs is just to have the human compassion and the caring and just the presence of another human being sitting there next to you can be therapeutic. That's my lesson.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ratings wise, how do you feel?
I'm going to give this one, I'm going to give it a 7.6.
Oh,
so that's my rating. 7.6.
Okay. I am going to give this an 8.2.
Woo!
Just a little over an 8.
Yeah.
Mike Vahar knocked out of the park for me. Yeah. I think this was beautifully directed. I love the ambiguity of the ending. Like I said, I didn't know. At the end, I was like, wait, so did they let the doctor keep these memories or did they, like, it's not really clear.
Yeah. We don't know what happened. Did he make it past it? Did he get through the storm? You know,
we think he got through it. We think they continued to,
the assumption is that he did. Yeah. We let him stay like that until.
But I like the ambiguous ending. I really love the premise of this.
Makes
Sophie's Choice.
Makes you think. It really does.
I give it an 8.2. Let's see what our admiral and captain's rating for latent image.
Got it right here. This one. What is it?
Got it right here.
Yeah. Who wins the Academy Award? Come on.
And the winner, the number is 7.7.
Oh,
wow.
I'm 0.1 away. I almost said 7.7, but I pulled back a little bit. I put 1/10 off.
Wow.
Oh, look at that.
I went higher than the captain's
Captain's but you went higher because you saw how good of an episode it was from a directorial standpoint. I think that's
had
why
a lot
to
do
that's
with
why
it
and pumped it up.
And I think Kate's performance, I think Bob's performance, I think Jerry's performance. Mm-hmm. There were some really good performances in this episode.
And yours. You did a great job too.
So. Yeah, it was okay.
And I fooled you in the beginning. You didn't think that I did
you
not.
You were great. I loved it. I loved it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Wow. I can't believe I upscored this episode.
You went beyond the admirals. Good for you. Okay.
All right. Well, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. What's happening next week?
Next week, you and I will be chatting, rewatching, and then discussing Bride of Chaotica.
Oh, no way.
Oh,
no
way. One of my favorite episodes. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. I can't wait.
We got some good episodes happening
right
now.
We do. And this is what happens
with one of them.
Yeah. This is what happens with all Trek. It's always the later seasons that are the most amazing. So here we are. We're in the best of the best of Voyager.
Yeah. We have a very special surprise guest. Patreon patrons, stick around for some bonus content. We're going to be talking to Robert Picardo about this episode. We are so excited.
See you next week when we review, recap, discuss Bride of Chaotica. Thanks.
Bye.